I understand that there's an insert in the bulletin that has the scripture passages that I'll be using during the sermon. They're also listed there, and we'll be referring to them one at a time as we go through the message today. But let me begin by apologizing again for this laryngitis that I'm suffering from this morning. But with your patience and endurance, we will discover that His strength is made perfect in weakness. When I was a child, one of the most weighty warnings my parents drilled into me was this: watch out for strangers. You too? Strangers could be dangerous. Strangers stole children. They offered them candy, and then they lured them into their cars and drove off with them, and those children were never seen again. It was good they warned us, because kids got abducted in the 40s. When Kay and I became parents, one of the most weighty warnings we gave our two children was this one: watch out for strangers. You parents did that too? And again, for the same reason, because kids got abducted in the 70s. Now we are grandparents, and we're watching our kids raise their kids, and they are parroting what we taught to them, to their children, to our grandchildren. With very serious faces and furrowed brow, they are soberly issuing the same dark warning to their kids: watch out for strangers. And it's good they're doing this, because kids still get abducted. So it's a strange twist to read the Bible and hear the Holy Spirit of God also say repeatedly, watch out for strangers, and find out that what God means is just the opposite. For God, it's not a warning to be on the lookout for someone dangerous. From God, it's an alert, even a command, to be on the lookout for someone precious, someone carrying gifts, like those strangers from the east showing up in Bethlehem with gold and frankincense and myrrh in their camels' saddlebags. It's quite a switch from seeing a stranger as a threat to seeing a stranger as a gift. But that's exactly how the Bible speaks about strangers. Strangers are gifts to us, and we are to welcome them and love them. This is a consistent command all through the Scriptures. Now, what does a guest pastor choose to preach on when he fills in like this on a Sunday morning? He picks one of the great themes of the Bible that is found throughout the Bible, and just reminds us of it again. And this is one of those wonderful themes: the gift of the stranger. Look at the note sheet today. Look at that first text. It's Deuteronomy 10, verse 19. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. And he loves the alien, that's the stranger, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Look at Leviticus 19:34. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Then to the New Testament. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink." And then this, "I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Then later on in the New Testament, Paul says to the Ephesians, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth." Now, I suspect that in this congregation here in New Westminster, most of us were Gentiles by birth. I doubt there are many people who are Jewish in their background here. There may be some. But most of us were Gentiles. Our heritage goes back to Gentiles. And so these words apply to us. He says this, "You were separate from Christ and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." You were these strangers to the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now, it's been expanded to include the Gentiles, and it always was intended to reach the Gentiles and bless the Gentiles. But at one time, you were strangers to the covenants of promise. And then in Hebrews, he speaks of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, and says, all these people admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. That they were looking for a city that has foundations. Here, they had a sense of estrangement. And so Peter says, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And again, dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your souls. Now, friend, that is just a sample of how the Bible presents strangers, this whole theme of strangers, and speaks of them often as gifts and calls us to welcome them. Now, notice the Old Testament passages. God insisted that his people, the Jews, welcome and love the strangers, called aliens, who were part of the community. You know, at the time of the Exodus, when the people of Israel left the land of Egypt, there were 2 million of them. They weren't all Jews. There were thousands of non-Jews in that long column that went through the Red Sea. There were aliens among them. Probably because of the 10 plagues, these people had come to believe in the God of the Hebrews, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they chose to leave Egypt and join those Hebrews and become part of that people, part of that religion. They had these immigrants, you might say, among them. And God said, you love those people, those aliens among you. Welcome them and embrace them and treat them not as strangers, but as one of you, as equal to you. They're my gift to you. And here's why you should embrace them. You were once strangers in Egypt. You were once aliens in Egypt. You know what it's like to be on the outside, to be marginalized, to be discriminated against, to be exploited as slave labor, to watch your baby boys be killed. You know the terrible life of being an alien. But I loved you, and I delivered you. Now you have aliens among you. Love them. Welcome them. Embrace them. Look at the passage from Leviticus 19. You know, it's the first time in the Bible that we find the golden rule. It didn't start with Jesus. It's in the Old Testament. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And notice who the others are. Strangers. The golden rule first meant, do unto strangers as you would have others do unto you. Look at the third passage. Jesus said that when he comes back and sits on his throne in judgment to judge the living and the dead, to separate all of humanity into sheep and goats, then one of the tests he will use to reveal who's a sheep and who isn't a sheep will be the fact that the righteous always welcomed strangers. The unrighteous didn't do that. The unrighteous had no room, either in their hearts or in their homes, for strangers. They saw strangers as threats, but the righteous always saw them as gifts. So one of the ways you can always identify a righteous person is this. They have this tone of hospitality about their heart. They have an openness to reach out to a person who is a stranger and embrace them and come to know them. That's why in Romans 12:13b, we're told to practice hospitality. Why? Well, the remaining passages tell us. First, because it's like the Israelites in Egypt, we too were once strangers, serious strangers, spiritual strangers, total strangers to God. We were foreigners to the kingdom of heaven. We were on the outside looking in, indeed, not even looking in at times. But God welcomed us into his eternal kingdom through his son Jesus. He adopted us into his eternal family. So we're no longer foreigners, but brothers and sisters. And Paul never stopped wondering at this, how these Romans and these people in Asia Minor, these Greeks, how they were all part of this community that God was gathering and embracing into his kingdom. That is why Jesus, when the Greeks came and said to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus," that's why he said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." The strangers are asking. They're knocking on the door. They're wanting to see me. Secondly, because strangely, becoming a member of the heavenly kingdom turns us into resident aliens here on earth. Now, we're good Kyperians, so we know that we're here for a purpose. We're here to redeem the world and to bring about justice and shalom wherever we can. But let us never forget, we are resident aliens on this earth. This world, in its present form, is not our permanent home. It can never be until it is utterly transformed. So we are strangers in this present world order. We belong to another kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, which our Lord Jesus launched. We have been baptized into Christ. We march to a different drummer now. So as strangers ourselves to this world system, we have a special place in our hearts for our fellow strangers. And then there's one more significant passage. It's Hebrews 13, verse 2. It's not on the screen. It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people entertain angels without knowing it," like Abraham, or Gideon in Judges 6, or Manoah in Judges 13. All of them were surprised to discover that the strangers were angels, or maybe God himself. So, brothers and sisters, in the Bible, strangers are gifts to us, and we are to invite them into our world and our lives. We're to make room for them in our schedules and show them hospitality. Strangers are special people. Strangers are gifts. Strangers deserve special treatment. Strangers get a kind of priority, and if we give it to them, we end up not only blessing them, but blessing ourselves. Because strangers, our Lord said, represent me. I was a stranger, and you took me in. So I want to suggest this wonderful truth that sometimes strangers are Jesus incognito moving among us. Now, I know it's not an easy thing for us to do. It's a stretch to welcome a stranger. Let me say it again. It's a stretch to welcome a stranger, but it's a good stretch. It's a God-like stretch. This comes home to us every day, and sometimes the most mundane of ways. When I served the church at Sunlight in Linden, it was my good habit to play golf on Monday morning, my day off. And I and a couple of other pastors would play at Homestead Golf Course in Linden. And then after a while, a couple of other folks began joining us as well. Some retirees, people who were free on Monday morning. And after a while, on sunny days, why, we could have as many as 10 people gathered on the first tee of Homestead, ready for a great round of golf. Well, each time we came down the third fairway towards the green, we came right past the home of two women, both past 60, who never failed to step out of their second floor on their deck, wave to us, cheer us on, and clap loudly if we sunk a good putt on the third green. One of them was a Canadian from the Okanagan, whose name was Pearl Schmunk. She had suffered a stroke some years earlier, crippling stroke, but she is a gutsy daughter of the Most High, so she fought back, she relearned the alphabet, she recovered her vocabulary, and she even got back into her insurance business. And when her doctor suggested that playing golf wouldn't hurt a bit in her rehabilitation, she took him up on it. And she practiced tirelessly with her shag bag out on empty soccer fields. And one day I said to her, "Pearl, it bothers me that you only watch us from your deck. Why don't you join us?" She hesitated. We were a group of only men. By her own admission, she wasn't very good, but it appealed to her. She sensed the invitation was quite genuine. So the next Monday morning, there she was, a stranger in that group gathered around the first tee, a group of around 10 men, all quite capable golfers, and one woman. Nobody said anything, but the question hovered over that first tee like the chopping blades of a helicopter. Whose group will she be in? Who's going to play with her? She had a stroke. She's only a beginner. Whoever it is will likely be spending half their time looking for her shanked balls in the woods and ponds. Chances are she'll slow down the pace of play for the rest of us. Probably end up being a 5.5-hour round. Where is she going to fit in? I felt all eyes turn toward me. Not just turn, land on me. I could read their minds. "Cumin, you're the one who invited her. Sorry, pal. Looks like she plays with you." What you have here can only be described as a pastor in a pickle. On one hand, one voice inside me reminds me that Monday's my day off. I shepherd the flock 6 days a week. Pearl was part of the flock. Besides, these are my buddies. We cherish these moments together. We all play at the same level. I want to be with them. She even says she wants me to be with them. She insists that I go with them. She can play alone. She can follow behind us all by herself. But on the other hand, another voice inside me shamed me with this message. "What kind of a pastor are you anyway? You invite her to play golf with you, and then you just abandon her now to trail behind you all by herself? What kind of a pastor are you? Much less, what kind of a Christian are you? Much less, what kind of a human being are you? Just imagine what you're about to do to her, putting her in that truly painful place of being right behind you, watching you play your game, hearing you cheer and praise one another, and never be part of it. What kind of a human being are you now? Really now?" Well, I really had no choice. I resign myself to plodding along with Pearl. So I watched this Christian lady recovering from her debilitating stroke struggle to play the game of golf. She did duff and shank and hook and slice and sometimes totally missed the ball when she swung at it. And sometimes when she putted, the ball still wasn't in the hole even after 4-5 putts. Sometimes she simply picked it up from the green, carried it over to the top of the hole, and dropped it in by hand. But then, I think it was the Holy Spirit who opened my blind-to-the-stranger eyes to see something else. Something nothing less than astounding. She just kept smiling. She brought deep joy with her onto that golf course. And that joy just kept on bubbling out, no matter how she played. So when she did hit a rare good shot, she didn't just enjoy it. She celebrated it. It was as if her whole heart bloomed in a kind of worship and gratitude to God that that shot actually went and strayed. Not once did she ever curse. Instead, when she had a bad shot, she would smile her rather crooked smile, and I could tell she was laughing at herself. Friends, it was a rare treat to see this daughter of God who lives in a deep universe play golf with Jesus at her side and celebrate the smallest joys. Then you don't take yourself too seriously. That was a treat. And I, a pastor, with plenty of rain and mud and slicing and duck hooking and duffing going on in my church and my world and my soul, needed to see that. Just watch that. And I was saved from discouragement by watching her joy. The gift is in the stranger. And if we welcome them, we're only blessing ourselves. If we bless them and take them in. Let me end with one more story. His name is Shadi. S-H-A-D-I. Shadi Gerges. He's an Egyptian born and raised in Egypt. A Lithuanian girl named Luba Lukyanchikova with Russian parents whose family had immigrated from Lithuania to Linden. Yeah, we get people like that in our town. Brought him to our church one day. They had met at Washington State University. They were in love. I liked him immediately. He looked every bit Middle Eastern. Black hair, tan complexion, dark eyes. But he was a stranger in our midst. But an easy to love stranger. A Lithuanian girl, an Egyptian boy in a Caucasian town. What is God up to? Then September 11 happened. And Shadi felt the eyes of people all over Linden looking at him. Well, staring at him. Some with suspicion. Some even with anger. Suddenly he felt, isn't that interesting? That people wondered if he was a terrorist. He felt like a stranger in our midst. This fine young Christian man, raised in a Baptist church in Egypt, came into my office on September 13 on the verge of tears. Pastor Kuman, I hardly dare to go out of my house. I don't dare to go to the grocery store. I feel the eyes of everybody just boring into me. I don't feel safe in Linden right now. But I have an idea. What would you think if... And then this young 21-year-old asked if it would be all right if he got up in church the very next Sunday morning and told people how he was feeling and asked them not to judge him and other people who were of Middle Eastern descent with Middle Eastern skin color and Middle Eastern accents just because the terrorists had destroyed so many lives and the Twin Towers. I said, by all means, Shadi, I'll invite you up to the pulpit Sunday and you just say whatever you want to say. So on September 16, 2001, Shadi Gurgis, our young Egyptian brother in Christ, the stranger in our midst, stood up in front of 600 people in Sunlight Church in each of our morning services, and he told us what life had been like for him that very week, how he had felt suspicious eyes locked on him, and how he had felt condemned and marginalized, and how he recognized some of it might be his own paranoia, but that perhaps some of it was honest suspicion, and how much it hurt. And he asked, would they please believe that he was one of us? He was one of us. The place became very quiet. I noticed some eyes filling with tears. For one moment, one precious moment, we felt the pain of a stranger asking just to be accepted, recognized, and loved. And he was a stranger. Very few people in Sunday even knew who Shadi was. But at that moment, something wonderful happened in our church. A barrier became a bridge. And a church, a whole church, was given a treat from God, an opportunity to embrace a stranger. When Shadi finished his last sentence, it was deathly still. And then someone began clapping. And the whole place erupted in a loud, long, sustained applause, as if every hand was reaching out just to say to Shadi, you belong here. We cherish you. It doesn't matter that your skin is dark or that you have an Egyptian accent. You are our brother. Welcome. Friends, it was a moment. It was one of those moments when you know what a church is. You're standing on holy ground. It was a moment when a frightened stranger felt so much at home. And when a congregation found its own true heart, a heart that always has room for a stranger. That day, it was as if an angel stood among us and received a royal welcome. Friends, the gift is in the stranger. Find them. Reach out to them. Make room in your heart for them. And you just might discover at the end, at the final exam, that you are embracing Jesus himself. Now would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the deep hospitality that was in your heart that caused you to reach out to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We who were strangers to you, you embraced. You embraced estranged Adam and Eve in the garden. You sought them out and still clothed them, loved them, and gave them a promise. We thank you that this promise goes to our children who, when they are born, are unknown to us, and yet because they're part of our family, though they are strange, we welcome them. And we give you thanks, Lord, that there was a time when perhaps we were estranged from you, and yet in your amazing grace, you broke through our barriers, softened our hearts, called us back to yourself. And now as your people, exercising due care not to trust people right away, give us, we pray, a heart that has room for a stranger. Whether we meet them at a bus stop or in a shopping mall or at church or at a public place, give us the grace to take a moment and visit with them and get to know them. Lord, we pray that in this way we would be countercultural Christians. For we live in a world where people board airplanes and hardly ever talk to the person in the seat next to them. But we pray that we would be different, that there would be about us a heart that notices people and is willing to be interrupted and take time for them and engage them and care about them. Help us to have eyes that recognize such people when you bring them into our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.